Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Father, today I believe that you're going to speak to us, to speak to all of us, regarding the idea that why sometimes we have to go the hard way. Why sometimes that detour of the other shortcut we wanted to take isn't your plan. And Lord, I want to speak words of healing or of works of resolution over those people that are living in frustration today, that they thought it would have happened by now. And they're feeling that somehow they feel left out. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would teach us today that you have not made a mistake. There's something you know about us that we don't know about ourselves. And I pray the Holy Spirit would reveal it to us, that we could leave this place free and able to worship you and to praise you the way you designed for us to do. Holy Spirit, be our teacher today, and we'll give you all the praise, the honor, and glory, for we ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus. And all God's people said,
amen.
You may be seated. I just want to share a word that I really feel the Lord just left in my spirit as we were worshiping. And I don't know, we may get back to that Spirit Breakout song again before we leave here, because what that was saying to some folks here is that God wants to bring heaven down to earth to live inside of you. And there's a couple of people here specifically who are saying, can God live inside of me? Absolutely. And he's doing some alterations right now, and this is your day to find freedom, to find deliverance, to find everything you've been looking for. So stay tuned. God's got something special for you. Well, what does this mean, the whole idea of shortcuts? I remember when I lived over on Southeast Clinton Street, we had a little, there was kind of a field that kind of went behind our house. You go out the back through the fence, and it cut through this open field, and it was a shortcut. Only problem was there were snakes. That's a problem. If you were lazy, you said, well, it's awesome. You know, and mama said, don't go down that. Well, you know where I'm going with this. Because of the fact there's danger there. But somehow it's appealing to us to find shortcuts, because I don't know if there's either the lazy aspect or the challenge aspect. I don't know what it is. But I want to let you know that if you're on a long road, because the Lord, the scripture we're going to explore a little bit further, is the Lord knew that if he had let them take a shortcut to get where they were going, they'd never make it. And that's what the road perhaps that you're on today. Here, let me give you a few things we'll talk about today. So, number one is, have you ever taken a route only to discover that it was more than you bargained for? I know you've done it at the line at the grocery store. It looks like it was shorter. Then you find this little old lady, she's hunting in her purse for a pen. Then she runs her car to the ATM and it doesn't go through. And everybody else has left the store. You're still behind this lady trying to figure it out. You thought it was a shortcut, didn't you? And that line over there that you thought was so long, they done gone, left, been home, had dinner. Okay. Let me go on to the next thing, because I know it's getting too painful. Okay. Have you ever questioned the route someone was taking you and discovered later that they had made the right choice? Backseat drivers, God help you. You're really supposed to turn over here. Well, I wouldn't go this particular way. Well, you know this. Shut up and ride. Ain't nothing worse than somebody just trying to backseat drive, front seat, left hand. I don't care what seat you're in. Sit down and ride. Make folks crazy with your ideas. Number three. Are you lacking the confidence necessary to face your wilderness? And that's the part that we're really going to talk about today, is the whole wilderness aspect of the things that you go through, that God knew what he was doing when he took you or was taking them through the wilderness. Because he knows something about you that can only be solidified in the wilderness. Well, Matthew chapter 6, verse 13, most of you wouldn't have to look it up, but they'll put it up on the screen for you. This is when the disciples said to the Lord, teach us how to pray. And part of the prayer that he had them pray was this, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Why would the Lord ask us to to say something to him, don't lead us into temptation. Do you think that God has got this plan or agenda that he's going to lead you into wilderness to see whether you're going to fail or not? I believe some of you believe that. Because of what the hard things you've gone through, that, and you've got all kinds of ideas and postulates that really aren't founded in reality. But the issue is here, but he says, but when you pray, not if you pray, this is how you should pray. Do not lead us into temptation. And I believe there's a part of us that says, the appeal is that don't let us get to the false assumption that you've led us into this particular place and we're going to fall on our face. It's making ourselves aware that God doesn't work like that. Well, being led away from temptation may cause you to take a long detour. May I just say to some of you thought you'd have to be married by now, or have kids by now, or the job you want by now, etc. I can fill out the whole list. And the temptation is to believe it's never going to happen. I talked to you last week about Moses. Excuse me, not Moses, but Abraham. Abraham gets a promise from the Lord at 75. God does not come through with a promise till he's 100. So you still got a few days to work with, okay? Can we say you're okay? And then at 100 years old, I'm going to have a kid. Really? Don't shortchange God. Well, being led away from temptation may be inconvenient. And that's the part that I guess I would revel in, is the fact that, well, it's better to go this way. And it's better to not have to do this, or it's better not to have to take that. And the part of our rationale, it gets us so away from God's principles and power in our life that it's really kind of an issue that somehow God's trying to resolve through Moses leading these folks. And if you know the whole story, we're not going to go through the whole story of the children of Israel. It isn't shortly after they get through this whole process that their complaints just start coming in volumes about this and that and the other type of thing. But I'll tell you what, there's something going to be resolved in your spirit today that will help you become more submitted and committed to God. Our natural senses will not understand the quickest route is not always the best route. Can I get an amen in the house? Our salvation experience may not follow the path that's easiest. Now, I guess the assumption is for some people when they got saved, they're like, happy days are here again. You feel like everything's turning up roses. No. But here's the idea behind it. It says that the very last part of that scripture read is that the Lord set for them guidance in the daytime and at night. And when everything's going bright or when the things are the dimmest, he says, I've got a light for you to guide you. I'll guide you no matter what situation happens to be. I'm never, ever going to leave you. I want to let you know, if you can leave here with something that's a guarantee from God, is that God is not going to abandon you on this journey. Yes, you're in the wilderness, but I'll tell you what, his presence goes before you. His presence is with you. Amen. Now, isn't it interesting that that's the Old Testament? In the New Testament, the Lord says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Kind of correlates, doesn't it? God's always been in that business. He said, I don't know. Well, it seems, well, just hold on. We got something for you. Well, fear will overtake us when we see the opposition in front of us. This is what the Lord spared him from. He says, I'm not going to take them through the shortcut because they'll give up. Anybody in here ever given up too soon? No, don't raise your hand. Just kind of sit there in silence and just kind of let it waft over you. Because if I'd only stayed 5 more minutes, it would have been totally different. If I'd only done... That's what God is into. Our trust in the Lord with all your heart. And here was the next part of the verse says, and lean not to your own understanding. Your own understanding will get you not only in the wrong road, but it'll get you in the wrong attitude to receive the promises of God. And that's a pretty tough deal. And so in my own trials, there are times when I thought, well, this has got to be the right way to do it. And I just kind of take off down the road. The presence of the Lord, I wouldn't even ask God for his presence. I'm off and going. And what do you know? I find out it's not what I thought it was going to be. The shortcut. That God wants to do something in us that really needs to have the merit of his Spirit. Well, where in the wilderness is God's chosen path, and God knows what's best for us. But here's the thing that you need to realize is Jesus is the one who teaches you how to navigate wilderness experiences. Can I take you to the wilderness with Jesus? You say, well, why would you want to do that? Well, because it's a good thing. So Jesus, the Bible says, and Jesus was being led about in the wilderness. Who was leading him? Anybody know? Come on, speak it out, all you Bible scholars. He was led by. I hear all kinds of things. Boy, we need to go redo that one. He was led by the Spirit of God in the wilderness. So if he's being led by the Spirit of God, but then here's the part that we sometimes will capitalize on. He gets to the near end of his wilderness experience, and the devil says, I got him now. Because Paul's, he starts, he opens up the book of questions. If you are the Son of God, knowing that you've been fasting for 40 days, cause these stones to be turned into bread. I want to tell you that Jesus could have opened a bakery in the desert if he wanted to. Dave's Killer, well, now it wouldn't be Dave's Killer Bread, but he could have done it. If he could take a little bit of, you know, two fish and five loaves of bread and feed 5,000, a little snack for himself would be no problem. But here's the answer that you need to get fastened in your spirit. Man shall not live by bread alone. He didn't say bread is no good for you. He says, but there's something that God has for you that man cannot create, that only comes from the power of the Spirit. And if you're focusing in on the things that will only feed your body and not your spirit, you're going to miss out terribly. And so the wilderness experience was a shortcut. Was, well, no, I don't have to wait for someone to get some food. I need to say, mm-mm. If you're the Son of God, throw yourself off this mountain, off this ledge. Ever try to prove something that doesn't need to be proven? You know what that goes after? It's a three-letter word that is destroyed all of us at one time or another. It starts with an E and ends with an O. And there's a G in the middle. Anybody guessing what that is? And it will torture you. I can handle this. This is no big deal. Well, angels are going to take care of you as far as it's concerned. Just put God to the test. But the third and most important part of this whole thing of a wilderness experience, and I think I want this is for somebody very specifically sitting in this room right now. He says, I'll give you a shortcut so you don't have to go to the cross. If you bow down and worship me, I'll give you the whole world back. Right now, I'm the prince of the power of the air. Some of you say, well, theologically, are you doing this right? Yes, I am. Thank you very much. It's the fact he says, you know, I'm kind of the prince of the power of the air. I'm kind of controlling everything. You can bypass the cross. If you just fall down on your knees and worship me, no cross, no harassment, all this other type of stuff. And he says, you know what? I know who I am. My Father already told me. And he kind of gave him his paper and says, get out of here. Get lost. So if you go back to the story of where we are with Moses, and he's got these people, there's a problem that they have to face. And the issue is this, that they're going to be confronted with shortcuts and issues of how they can escape their destiny or get to their destiny in a subterraneous way. But it's not going to work out. Your plan will not work. Except for frustration's sake. Well, wilderness is a necessary place to discover God's grace and provision. Somebody say amen, because God is creating distance so that you don't have to go back to what you're tempted to go back to. Remember several months ago, I talked to you about Cortez. This was in the 1500s. He was going to take over Mexico. And when they land on the shore, they remember he conquered part of Brazil and all of South America. But when they got out of the ship, and I did a little more research on this. He says, this is what I want you to do. Burn the ships. I want to let you know, God is not into plan B. He says, either we're going to conquer Mexico or we'll die. And I believe that God is saying that there is no second option for us to find ourselves in. Well, what is he saying? The wilderness is discovered for us. They need to go through the process before they can be ready for the promise. Process, promise. No shortcut. Well, they needed to learn to trust God in new ways, and the shortcut, they need to go around through Egypt. But here's the one little thing I said to you that I think will be helpful to expand a little bit more on. God was getting them out of Egypt. Can you agree with that? But getting Egypt out of them is a whole different story. We're going to have to confront the mentality of we live in this idea of Egypt inside of us. It's a philosophy of how we run our lives. Because we're used to being in bondage. We're used to having to be of the things that the enemy, the lies that the enemy has told us. We're used to the fact. And it's proved in a few moments where you look at the particular scripture, but the Lord says, I know what's going to happen. If I let them go the shortcut here, they'll be confronted too soon with an opposing group of folks. They'll give up. There's a particular piece of poetry. I didn't pull it out of my archives or such. But the title of the poem is called Don't Quit. Look it up, Google it, read it, and say, oh. But one of the lines of the poem I remember, it says, don't quit. You could succeed with one more blow. That's all it takes. Don't quit. And that's the part that God's really after us for. So anyway, in this whole process of things, God is trying to do something I think is worthy of us to understand that he has a promise in the midst of our problem. Here's the other thing that we need to avoid is, I've said this before, ever tried to go forward just looking in your rearview mirror? Oh, I'm going forward. You're going to hit somebody, and I don't want to be on the road with you, okay? Look ahead of you. Paul put it this way, forgetting those things that are behind, I'm moving toward those things that are ahead. Looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. That's our problem. We're just kind of looking, well, this could happen, and that could happen. Yeah, it could. But you keep your eyes upon Jesus, he'll lead you every single step of the way. Amen. What does this mean? Well, let's go to Exodus chapter 14, verses 10 and 11. Releasing the residue of our past. This is what this says. Exodus chapter 14. No, Exodus 14 one. I think you got a little bit ahead. Yeah, that one will come back to one. I'm sorry, I got a little out of context, but we'll get to that in a moment. There we go. And when Pharaoh drew near the children of Israel and lifted up their eyes, behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, because there was no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? What? How did that conversation get open? Doesn't this kind of mystify you? I think it's important that I kind of skipped over something. I'll come back to it in just a moment. But they're at this place of being disillusioned. They're saying, Moses, The only thing we see before us is ultimate death. And probably we're going to be killed out here. And are there no graves in Egypt? We could have been buried there and not go through all this other type of stuff. It's inevitable that we're going to fail. Really? How do we even get to this place of discussion? I want to help you and help me at the same time. There are often times that I think I get ahead of God in my thinking, and I presume certain things are going to happen that will never are going to happen. How many things have you projected in your mind that were going to happen that didn't happen? Tons of them. But in that moment, you were convinced, this is how it's going to be. It's over. It's not going to happen. You know, never going to, no. And we get ourselves in that particular mindset. And wow. That's a pretty rough thing. So hold that for just a moment, because I do want to pick up that one and forgive me for getting ahead of you in Genesis chapter 50. If you go back to that one, please. I'm sorry, I got a little bit ahead of myself. Because I need to explain to you why Genesis chapter 50 is there. Then Joseph took an oath from the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry my bones from here. When that scripture was brought up, and I said, what is the deal with the bones? Why would you want to carry someone's carcass to your next resting place? Now, I don't want to defraud what was going on. But let me tell you what that's all about. Joseph was a sign to Israel of God's faithfulness. But let me give you just a little thumbnail sketch of what his life was like. When he was a very young child, he was kind of pampered by his dad. He was a favorite child. And some of you are suffering under the favorite child syndrome because you weren't the favorite child. Get over it. This is not therapy. This is the Word of God. But I'll tell you this part about it. Is God had to take him the long route to his destiny. And I'll tell you why. Because Joseph, when he got a word, you know, he had these incredible dreams. And can you imagine? The guy was not smart. He said, hey, Dad, my brothers, I'm the young one, I had a dream, and there were these sheaves, and you were bowing down to me. Are you dumb? Why would you tell people that? He doesn't do it one time, he does it twice. And God says, this boy's got issues. And so what God does, he has to get over something that's in Joseph. It's called arrogance. Now, I know none of you suffer from that, but you probably have a friend. So you can deliver this CD to them. But some of you are so cocky and so arrogant, God says, got to take him a little different route because this boy, he ain't getting it. And you know where he ends up? In a pit. Almost got sold. I mean, almost got killed. And his brother kind of rescues him, puts him in a pit. And he's in the pit, and he's there, and then they finally sell him into slavery. And you'd think he'd get it there. Oh, no. His next place, prison. 2 years to life, who knows? Because there's some things about him. He had a time frame of when he thought all this is supposed to happen. I want to tell you something about this whole thing, that later on it happens through the whole process of different things, and he goes there, and then he's still got all the giftedness going on in his life, but the problem is this, that God needed to refine him. And you know, it took several years to refine him, almost 20, before he was ready to be the redeemer of the person that he said, carry my bones over to the promised land. It didn't happen in his lifetime, but I'll tell you what, he says, those bones of mine will be a remembrance to other folks to realize that yes, God will do it, but God's going to do it in his time, and you may not see it. Amen. My question to you is, are you willing to be that person that will be an example? It may not happen in your lifetime, but are you willing to obey God? And eventually he does get into power, and eventually he's able to redeem his whole family and set them up for success and to the place where Moses is born, and they're now on their way into their promised land. But I'll tell you what, he says, the very least thing is carry my bones. It wasn't the fact that it was an ego thing. He says, I want you to carry my bones as a reminder that it's not going to come in the time frame when you think it is. Somebody sitting here saying, why not? I mean, I want to do it now. Do you want the will of God or do you want your way? Some of you have been praying for your kids, and it may be that you'll be off this planet before they get saved. Are you okay with that? I'm going to let that marinate for a moment. Your time frame and my time frame is not God's time frame. Amen. But he did get a promise from me. He says, when we get over there, carry my bones as a reminder that God is faithful. And he allowed me to be the redeemer of our whole family and to rescue all of us out of poverty and to provide for them that now you can have this pilgrimage to the promised land. Are you willing to be that person that will sacrifice all the things that you've wanted that someone else might enter into the promises of God? Oh, it's marinating. I want to deal with some of you that feel really disappointed or even disillusioned. The devil has told you this, it's never going to happen. I need to tell you something. I'll look right in your face. The devil is a liar. He's a liar. So that being the case, they carry the bones, and then we get to the particular place, and I'm going to close up here in just a couple minutes. But the whole idea about what God is trying to share with us today is that we get caught up in the wrong aspect of thinking that there's a way that we can circumvent God's plan of getting where we're going. And it's just not going to work. It's just not going to work. So seriously, so they get in this little dialogue and they're kind of chatting about the deal. And then God's about really ready to do something pretty profound. And the profundity of God is oftentimes it will catch you in a place where you'll have to release your expectation. It kind of goes like this. Well, releasing the residue of our past. When we focus on the enemy, we will forget where we're going. Question. What's been your focus last week? Some of you can't remember. Let me help you. Our focus, and many times my focus, is on problem solving all types of problems that have already been solved. What? In other words, we find ourselves worrying about things that God's already got taken care of. God says, cast all your cares upon me because I care for you. Do you believe that? Then why do you work so hard at doing things that God's already got you covered for? The opportunity for us to be in his presence and what he says here is, I'm going to take care of you by day. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to lead you by night. What's the problem here? I got you. I'll carry you through. Well, we must avoid trying to move forward while constantly looking behind things. But here's two things I want to leave with you. The two things that were on their minds were slavery and death. Oh, that sounds exciting. And this is what they said. It was better for us to be slaves in Egypt because you brought us out here to kill us and there's even no place to bury us. Wow. Who put that in your mind? First of all, we were better off as slaves. And secondly, there's no place even to bury us out here. You'll leave us out here for vultures. That is so weird. But you know what? When we get out of the will of God, we do weird stuff. We think weird. Here we go. There's no shortcut to faith except to face our fear. I'm going to show you how to do that. Fear of flying can only be overcome when you get in a plane. I'm just going to imagine myself flying. No, get in the plane. But get in the plane. Then you'll discover that a lot of the things that you had in your mind really isn't true. But we've got to take this step of faith to believe and trust in what God has in store for us. It's the idea that the principle that he has for us is a whole concept of the idea of him not just taking a shortcut. Well, I'll just go into one of those simulators. Yeah. Last scripture. Actually, we'll get to 14 and on. Stand still and wait. Chapter 14, verse 13. And Moses says, do not be afraid, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which will accomplish for you today. And the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. Boy, that's kind of an interesting sense. You'll see no more again forever. Wow. You'll see, they're gone. Let me summarize, they're gone. But wait a minute. You see them, but they're as good as gone. I want you to see through the eyes of faith today something that's in your life right now. Stop with me just one moment. Something that you believe is an obstacle in your life. I want you to focalize it on in your mind right now. Then accept the word of the Lord that says, what you see right now is the last time you're going to see it. It's going to be gone forever. So, oh, I just can't. Pastor, I just can't pretend. But what the Lord was saying to them, he says, I'm giving you a word that says, what you see right now is not the reality of what I have in store for you for your future. You may see it right now, but let God put a whole different lens in your spirit that says, what I see right now, God, by the faith of his word, is going to take care of it, and I'm going to see it. This is the last vision I'll ever have of it, because God's got this handled. I want the team to come back up here, because I feel like I need to stop right here. Psalm 119, 105 says this. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. Some of you are moving through darkness right now. And I want to tell you the practical application of that scripture. I was told this several years ago, probably 30 years ago, of the practicality of that particular scripture. There were times when people would go out at night, and it would be so dark out in Bethlehem or wherever they were going. I don't know how they did it. I don't know what was candles. I don't know what was some particular type of things that they manufactured or whatever. But they literally put a light on the edge of their foot. But the thing about that light, it could only light their pathway as they step forward one step at a time. And as they'd walk along, there'd be just enough light to make the next step, to make the next step to get where they're going. God's word is like that. It's a light, a lamp unto your feet, a light unto your pathway. First of all, you light the light with faith, and then you take the steps by faith where God is leading you along, and he opens up a pathway for you so you're able to make it in places that there's darkness all around you. But God says, look to the path that's before you. See, the devil will scare you about the fact, what about this and what about that? God says, mm-mm. The word of God says, proceed. Keep walking forward. You're going to make the place where I'm taking you, because you're going to walk by faith and not by sight. No shortcut for that. God wants to do great things in your life. Everybody bow your heads. Everybody. Holy Spirit, there's something so incredible that you want to do this morning, and I don't want to miss it. Lord, there are several people that walk through these doors today, and they need the illumination of your Holy Spirit to make the path in front of them illuminated so they can walk as they should. The enemy has tempted them to take a shortcut off the path in a direction that would lead to destruction. God, allow them to walk with you, regardless of what it takes. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm going to pray, and maybe even prophetically, over several people in this room. Listen carefully. The road, the option that which was suggested for you to take is the wrong way. God says, I have a way for you that you'll only discover as you submit your life to me. I'm speaking this to someone who's been through a lot of pain, a lot of disappointment. And it seems like you've taken your life back into your own hands. But God is saying, today, I want you to trust me with the most intimate thoughts and designs. That shortcut will sabotage my will for your life. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to ask for people to respond. And there's a couple other folks here today that I would say, in the spirit, you lost hope because of the news that you received within the last couple of weeks. It says it's just not going to happen. But Jesus says, oh, hope in me. I'll resurrect and bring things back to life that you thought were dead. In the name of Jesus, in the name that's above every other name, intercessors, start praying right now. In the name of Jesus, I speak hope, I speak life, I speak peace, I speak direction. And those who feel like they've veered too far to the left, to the right, God says, I'll make the path plain in front of you that you can walk in it. If that's you, I want you to lift your hand right now, because God says, I got something for you. Lift it up high where I can see it. God bless you. 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 God bless you.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.